Hard to argue with any of that.
Well, Rob wanted some quick fun awards to throw out here. He suggested most improved and most disappointing, so let's let him lead the way with his awards here.
Improved kind of goes to top players. I had a tie between Question and Shea.
For most improved?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to give it straight up to Gooch for coming back from pretty much the dead to being the most reliable center back on a team that's usually Champions League.
I think that'd be
most
back to the way he was award.
This is what MLS has trouble with their comeback.
The comeback of the year award.
It's like, what does that even mean?
So, either work. I give it to Breck Shea. I mean, given his caps earlier on with the U.S. national team, shit in the bed.
God, Colombia was just an awful,
he
awful
looked like a lost puppy. Just his eyes were just, I don't know what I'm doing. Most improved, Breck Shea.
What else we got?
Most disappointing.
Most disappointing?
I have a few guys. I have three guys.
Go for it.
Tim Ream comes to mind.
I would agree there.
I've been quite disappointed with Jermaine Jones. I thought we'd be getting more from him.
He shows no heart with the national team.
Yeah, and now he's stomping on people.
With the exception of that Jamaica match.
Additionally, he seems very confused with Jurgen's whole setup, which kind of makes sense because it's very anti-him.
Yes.
And Mr. USA, Landon Donovan, been disappointed with him this year. I'm hoping that the loan deal with Everton can kind of spark him. It sounds like he played a good match against Bolton. I didn't see it.
It's kind of harsh to give Donovan more disappointing. I mean, are you talking
just, I've been disappointed. I'm used to getting...
Are you talking just national team or the year in general? Because with the club, he was third in assists. I think he was fifth in goal scores. MLS Cup MVP.
I'm not sure how much he deserved MLS MVP, Cup MVP, though.
I think pretty strongly he deserved MLS Cup MVP.
Okay.
This is a tough one because there aren't very many Yanks who are thoroughly awful that I didn't expect to be awful, you know. Hello, Jonathan Bornstein. So, this is really, really tough. Ryan, you go first. I'm not going to steal anybody's idea.
Edgar fucking Castillo. Jesus Christ.
Did you expect him to be any good?
No, but I hate him that much.
It's not disappointing.
You see, for me... it's when I see him, I'm disappointed on the roster. So seeing him makes me feel disappointed. And that's how I took it.
Okay. See, it's hard because there are a lot of Yanks who had some rough months. Thomas Rongen would have won this award minus the American Samoa thing because his under-20 team blew it.
Again, it's too harsh to say that because...
It's one game.
It's a one-off.
It is a one-off, but they are...
Against that home team.
Against that home team, but this is arguably the most talented under-20 side we've had in years.
But say the same against the Olympic team when... You know, Donovan and Beasley couldn't qualify.
That's true. Okay, so you got guys like that. You got Donovan, who was just abysmal with the national team until Jurgen came along. And then even then, we don't even know where he's at or what he's really doing, if he's even worth anything with the national team anymore. And yeah, hopefully the Everton thing happens and he does well. I don't know.
I just feel like Donovan's losing a step. And it's disappointing to see.
I think one thing that needs to be mentioned is it's the first year he's actually had injury problems. And he said he's kind of taken aback, like, I'm not used to being injured. It's fucking with my head.
So I'll go to Everton during my offseason.
This also comes on the heels of him saying, I'm not going to go out on loan. I need the rest. He's just out doing that.
Where were you, Jurgen? You're like, fuck that one.
Last half of the summer, we've seen nothing out of Bedoya. Like, literally nothing. I don't think he's played in weeks.
He's made some bench appearances.
Which isn't saying a whole lot.
Probably
for how
got
great
murdered
he did
by some Celtic fans.
Which isn't saying anything for how...
McCauley's proud about that. Let the record show.
In the Gold Cup.
He's happy a national team player got murdered.
False. Inaccurate.
You just bumped your chest.
Yeah, for Celtic.
Mm. You know what? I'll give you this. Gale Aghbasmande.
Dom Servi.
Started off really promising, like with Djurgården. He was ready to go. He was gonna succeed in Sweden, and they liked him. And then, like always, like he's always done, just right down the shitter.
His Nats camps have been absurd, though. He's had some phenomenal reviews. I've heard best player in camp from a few sources.
But that's why it's disappointing, is that he has all of this, and yet he does nothing at the club level with it. Hate to call him a Freddie Adu, but that's what it feels like.
How many 20-year-old defenders make a name at all, regardless, at any level?
He hasn't gotten... He's gone to all these different clubs and hasn't stuck.
But how many defenders at that age do make a big name for themselves internationally? Or in the club level, even?
It's not about making a big name for themselves. It's about having enough... It's about doing well enough for a club to actually want you to stick around. I mean, he's bounced around it, and that's had a negative effect on him. I mean, it takes a toll on you going as long as he has bounced around like he has. I just don't feel like he's got all this talent, but he's yet to put it all. Well, putting it all together will happen when he's a few years older, but a club should still look at him and go, we need this guy. He's talented. And it just never happened. And he had the one appearance for the national team, you know, late last year, and he kind of felt like things were going really well for him, and then he just fell off. I'm not saying it's entirely his fault, because traffic, as we've learned, is pretty much poison to any player's career. But if you want to point at any one player who's had just a universally awful year where I expected them to be better, he's pretty much it.
That's fair. I'm going to throw two into this pod here. Best hair. Who has the best hair this year?
I have been enjoying Graham Zusi quite a bit.
I give
my absolutely full hair. Graham. Yeah.
Rob, best hair? Do you care?
Yeah, I guess Zusi. I don't know. I always enjoy seeing Beckerman's dreadlocks. I know they're a little disgusting, though.
Yeah,
because it looks like janky. He showers once every month.
I'll run with that. It's a good one.
He might.
It's a good pick.
Yeah.
This one's for Rob Moyer. Best looking lady gnat.
Alex Morgan.
Rob smiles like a childish.
He's
a kid in a candy store, basically.
But the candies are boobies.
Is that not getting at it?
It's a Rob in a boobie store. Benny?
I'd have to go store. With... See, this is tough because it's almost, you know, if you want to know how close guys get to a Twilight Team Edward versus Team... Who's the other dude?
Werewolf.
Don't care. Team Hope, Team Morgan, it's tough. I'm going to have to go with Hope Solo. Loved her on Dancing with the Stars. Really, really attractive woman.
And you love Chaney, so...
Lauren Chaney.
I guess we don't have any problems with each other.
No, not really.
We'll go our separate ways.
Cool, no fights.
Is that all we have? That's it?
Moment of the year.
Moment of the year. This is tough.
Wambach versus Brazil.
Wambach against Brazil? Hard to argue with that. That was just incredible.
McCauley's got something different.
I got 10, so.
Jesus Christ.
10 moments.
Number 10, Livestrong Park opening.
Yeah.
I think in terms of the...
That was really cool.
I mean, that turned that club season around. I mean, after that, is it 11?
They had an awful schedule leading up to
it. Zero wins in 11.
Yeah.
And then turned that team around. Not to mention their appearance in the Gold Cup against Guadeloupe. That place was going nuts.
There are not many teams with good attendance figures that do poorly in the MLS.
It's true.
Yeah.
But I guess you could say that's why the fans
are there. Yeah, it's why the fans are there, is because they win.
Look at Vancouver, though.
Look at Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto and Vancouver both pulled good numbers, despite being pretty bad franchises.
True.
You can tell Toronto really starts losing some fans, though, at the matches towards the end of the year. Or at least I could.
How much of that is the weather, though, too?
That's all. Yeah, it gets cold.
When you're losing and it's freezing out, it's hard to go to those games.
I forget who made this point on Twitter, but the next MLS Cup is going to be held on the 1st of December.
I saw that.
And it's going to be wherever the highest seeded team is. Montreal.
I hope Montreal.
Would be insane.
Yes.
It would
Montreal
be snowing.
Montreal runs the table, and they have to play the MLS Cup final in the snow.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so funny. But is there, okay, more moments? I mean, because I really don't think you can, it's really, really hard to top.
Okay, that's cool. That. Number 9, Chuck Deasy returning to DC.
Yeah.
I think just in terms of...
That was a great one.
And then scoring 2 goals in his return.
Yeah.
I mean, his year wasn't the most impressive, but given the fact he should be dead, I think...
I couldn't do that.
I think even walking is impressive after what he went through.
Yeah.
Number 8, Real Salt Lake making the CCL final. first MLS club to get that far.
That
and being
that's
so close to winning it all.
Having literally everything go your way
except
in a matter of minutes.
And then Beckerman being gone with a really, really shitty yellow card in the semifinal.
Yeah.
Number seven, Stu Holden's continued injury problems. I think just the
greatest moment or most awful moment.
I didn't say greatest, just moment of the year.
Oh, moment of the year?
Yes.
Mexico cock slapping us. Absolutely. I'm not even, oh my God. I was so unbelievably pissed. Like, I couldn't even, oh.
Yeah,
sorry, like, I'm sorry, U.S. Women's National Team. Like, the World Cup was really cool and it was a great moment, but I am so much more attached to the men's team and especially my hatred for Mexico. And after going up 2-0 and thinking about how the rest of my day is going to be unbelievably
day.
Awesome. Night,
rest of
next week,
rest of
next 4 years,
yeah.
Rest of
until the
next Gold Cup,
next meaningful Gold Cup,
until the Confederations Cup.
Yeah,
and then oh God, okay, I changed my answer.
Yeah. But so number seven, Stu Holden, keep getting injured. That tackle by Johnny Evans, Johnny, you suck, you're a dick.
Short list of Irishmen I hate, and Ryan's, I believe.
Yep, it's a short list. It's one. It's him.
Damn Irish people.
Hey, I'll hit you in the face. Number six, Galaxy
with
the Galaxy winning the Shield and the Cup. Big
David
year.
Beckham finally, you know, succeeding
yeah.
where everybody thought that he couldn't.
I think for me, it's not just a moment; it's the season for the LA.
It went as well as it could have.
Yeah, picking up Robbie King at the end of the year and just running train. Number
probably the best defense in MLS history.
I'd say so.
It's
one of them.
It's very high on that list. And a top 10, top 5 team of all time in general.
Yeah.
A lot of those, you know, mid-90s DC teams. Tampa had some huge teams earlier on.
I mean, they didn't lose at home.
Yeah, that's big. Number 5, Casey Keller retiring. I think the moment for me is that match when 940,000 people showed up at Quest Field to send him off.
And then to have the team recover and come back like that. I remember I was in a hotel room in northern Wisconsin with, like, my headphones on and having it, and, like, everybody
yeah.
looking at me like, what are you doing? Like, what are you excited for? But, yeah, that was a special moment. Like, I called a friend of mine who's from Seattle, and he was just going nuts. It was great for him and the city.
Yeah. Good stuff there. Number 4, the U.S. beating Brazil in the Women's World Cup quarterfinals.
Number 4.
Number 4 for me. Big moment, huge place, but it's a quarterfinals.
Wasn't it the semis?
French was semifinals.
Oh, the French.
Yeah. It's a quarter.
Oh, the French.
It's a quarterfinal match. It's a huge moment, but I think, you know, the reason you play a tournament is to win the title, and that's what number 3 is, the women losing to Japan in the final. From a U.S. soccer fan standpoint, it's heartbreaking, but from a person of the world moment, I think
yeah.
Japan winning that World Cup after thousands that died in the earthquakes, I think it's kind of...
pretty cool.
I mean,
it really wasn't a loser.
I
know,
hated to lose
opinion.
That game, but if we were to lose to anyone, I had to pick Japan.
True.
And even because we beat them 2-0 in the run for the Cup,
mm-hmm.
and outplayed them handsomely.
Yeah.
And then to have them come back, their coach somehow find a way to get that team behind Sawa to... You know, pull that comeback, and
that's why we love sports.
That's why we love sports. Even when they kill us, we come back to them. Number 2, Bob out, Jurgen in. For many, this is a highlight of the season. For me, it's a bit of a dark time.
We're still in the dark ages.
I'm not seeing much. I'm seeing bad things.
Don't you feel like U.S. soccer is kind of like a teenager, and you kind of let them go through that phase, and then eventually, like, they grow out of it, and then they realize, okay, so
this is like the drunk teenager that doesn't
know. No, that was Steve Sampson, though. A 3-man backline you've never played before in the World Cup. That's my drunken teenagers at Steve Sampson.
See, but teenagers go through many different...
This is my midlife crisis here.
This is midlife... Okay.
Like, we're doing really well. We got a smoking hot wife. You know, we beat Algeria. Everything's flying high. And then... We get fired by Ghana. We get in a car crash against Mexico. And then we go off and have an affair and just do heroin for a while. That's signing your Klinsmann for me.
What about, like, we're doing really well and we have everything, but we just want the big house. And
yes.
we may not be able to afford the big house, but we want that house. So then we get the mortgage, and then we're currently in the process of defaulting.
And then the Stu Holden economy collapses, and then...
the Stu Holden economy collapses, and that's basically our business.
And... yeah. And the number one moment of the year to me, to end this podcast on the darkest note possible, is Mexico taking over control of CONCACAF once again.
Is cock-slapping the appropriate...
yeah, we're now, once again, the number two team in CONCACAF, and that's how we end 2011. Fuck.
Fucking A. And you know, and Slovenia was a nice positive, but...
shots bring goals!
Hot Bush brings goals.
Hot Bush brings goals.
That was the funniest thing.
Correction, that's my moment of the year, is drinking Hot Bush after right before... we score goals.
Oh, my gosh. That was hysterical. But you're absolutely right. I was going to bring this up at the end. It's because it's a question very much worth asking. Is I noticed in my goals of the year, I don't believe I had one U.S. national team goal.
I had two, and they were lower on the list.
Was it a good year for U.S. soccer? You know,
almost.
That's what this podcast is here for, and... where have we been in the last 12 months?
There was a great article posted, I don't remember who put it up, on the Shin Guardian. Nico, look this up, because this needs to be read.
I don't believe that we've plugged them enough, but...
this is a must-read by the Shin Guardian.
And most things by them are very much worthwhile.
Yes, it was a guest post from Neil Blackman from The Yanks Are Coming.
Yep.
About how this was almost a great year for U.S. soccer. I mean, it mentioned things about, leading into last, 2010, we almost beat Ghana. We almost made it to the semifinals. Then we almost beat Argentina. Dempsey's almost the best player in CONCACAF, and then Hernandez steps in. We almost beat Mexico, and the Gold Cup collapses. We almost beat Japan, and then the women collapse. We almost have a competent front line. And then off the door, and Bunbury hit the skids. It was a rough year for U.S. soccer.
Rob?
What are we talking about?
I knew you spaced out. Was it a good year for U.S. soccer? I will go first so that you can compose your thoughts.
No.
I go.
It was not a good year.
At all? No. You don't think that we learned anything, did anything that was worthwhile?
I think we have a few young players who are coming up that... maybe we can overtake Mexico again, but
not for a while.
See, that's why I think that was super important about this past year is it's the year that defined for U.S. soccer slow growth.
I mean, can a player like Breck Shea be better than the up-and-coming guys that Mexico has coming up? I'm not sure.
We don't know.
Given them winning the U-17 and running up in the U-20s, I mean, it's hard to
say. They're scary good.
It's hard to say that youth performance will... show forward and look at Nigeria.
Yeah, because I mean the kids can start, just stop progressing.
Look at Nigeria and Cameroon have won gold medals in the Olympics and don't do shit.
But then again, if you look at Spain, and they
Spain
just
is Spain though.
But their players they go through at least two or three youth national teams before ever making
Spain is the exception to every rule though.
That's true. They do a lot of ridiculous things. So to answer your question, Mexico has some hardcore awesome youth coming through. But at the same time, this is what, U.S. soccer is finding out slowly, is we are so behind the curve as far as soccer goes. I mean, most of these countries, especially like Mexico, are steeped in the game. 100 years, 150 years. But we're trying to catch up. Like, our professional league is, I believe it's going to be 17 next year? Something, okay, 17, 18, 16... whatever. It's extremely young.
Well, 96 was the first year to go from there.
So, 96, 16?
16, yeah.
16. Extremely young. So, America...
the MLS can't even drive yet.
If you ask me, America very much enjoys the idea of the quick fix or the one thing will all of a sudden make it all good or make it all okay. But the unfortunate truth is that
probably
it's going to take...
Simon Jurgen.
Exactly. Everyone thought that, man, if we get this coach. Now, the reason why I like the signing of Jurgen is for what he said about the long-term project that he has. Is that, sure, a lot of people saw him and went, this is the guy. Like, he's it. You know, we're great now. But then clearly, you know, they ignored his comments. And a lot of people's comments, like myself, who said, this is going to suck for a little while because it is a long-term process. And that's what we learned. You're right. We did almost beat Mexico. We almost won the World Cup with the women. We almost qualified for the under-20 World Cup. We had all these things that almost happened. But then you have to realize that it's going to take a lot of time for these things to happen and to expect them to be able to happen. So looking forward to next year, predictions, expectations, what do you want to have happened by the time we're having this discussion next year? What do you think will happen? What do you hope will happen? What do you expect to happen?
Get in this
group. Literally, the only thing I care about is winning our group and qualifying. If we don't come in first in that group, I want Jurgen out.
I think that that's a legitimate reason to have him out.
Because we
don't have that hard of a group. We are definitely the most talented team in the group. And if he can't throw all that together, that's his own damn problem.
Yes.
What's the minimum points you want from that group, then?
Matches? Just finish first.
We have it's 6 matches?
Correct.
So 18 points max.
18 points max, 12.
I don't care, finish first. Points don't matter to me, finish first. Do what you have to do to win.
That's true. Because, you know, you can have a group that has 6 draws.
If we qualify in 4 games, let's bring in guys like Danny Potts. Let's bring in guys like Derek Williams if they want to switch.
Let's cap a few of the guys on the Olympic team.
What's the tiny island team? St. Lucia?
Antigua and Barbuda.
Antigua and Barbuda.
Yeah. And that's the first matches at them?
At home.
Okay, so there's 3 points.
Hopefully. We don't know. Okay. Expectations.
Oh, if we don't win that, Jurgen could very well be gone.
Under 23s qualify for the Olympics, and I do expect
that we
get into the knockout rounds. I think that this team has the talent to go further. But as you know, once you make it into the knockout stages,
the luck of the draw, the luck of the
luck
match.
Of the draw. Exactly. Like, I don't think that many people will dispute that in the World Cup in 2010, you look at a team like a Brazil losing as early as they did, and you go, like, that doesn't make sense.
Well, that was their second straight time losing in the quarterfinals, wasn't it?
Exactly. So a lot of different things can happen, but we should at least get into the knockout stage.
Yeah, I mean, last time around, it's hard to say anything besides disappointment for the 08 Olympics. The talent we had, and, you know, Orozco's boneheaded red card. You know, people give shit to Holden for jumping in the wall, but what are the odds that they gets under the wall and finds a corner like it does? I don't blame Holden for jumping.
There's something to be said for knowing that you're playing the Dutch, and if there's 2 or 3 countries who can have players who can pull that off. Well, if you're going to make that argument, he could have put it over.
Exactly. If you ask me...
I don't blame Holden. No.
Not at all.
Absolutely not.
And question for the foul, shit happens.
And to be fair, those 2 players emerged from that tournament as 2 of the, if not the most promising players.
And so I'm going to talk about almost moments. How about Davis hitting the crossbar against...
Oh, yeah.
That crushed my soul. Just pain.
This crop of under-23s is... If you ask me, the most talented that I've ever known about in American history.
The back line's a bit questionable in some spots, but
we still have 6 months for a play. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and she will have everything going.
Additionally, we have 3 overage players, and that's where a lot of teams. That's where they tend to use those
patch
overage players.
The holes in the defense.
And additionally, the Olympics this time will not interfere with the World Cup qualifying. Remember last time we brought 3 overage players, a washed up Brian McBride at the international level.
That was Zan, a sad way for him to end.
Yeah, it was. And then you had Parkhurst, meh. And then Guzan, I think, was the only person who you could look to and say, glad that he, like, really
upgrade,
glad that he was
upgrade
there.
Upgrade over...
Who was his backup? Seitz.
Seitz, Chris Seitz, yeah.
Which, thank God that didn't happen. So, theoretically, we should be able to pull a Howard or even a Guzan again. Like, I'd be happy with him.
Well, I don't really think...
Well, then again, we have
Hamid.
Yeah. We have Hamid, Johnson.
This is
we might go all back line.
Podcast, I think, here.
Like, okay, very true, but expectations, I expect for us to make it into the knockout rounds of the Olympics.
Yes.
I hope, as a result,
I hope we medal.
I hope we medal too.
Bronze is not out of the question.
It's not.
I think it's hard to ask for gold given all the talent there is in the youth ranks, but bronze isn't out of the question.
Well, this is going to be a year of redemption for the national team because of having a whole lot of almost. This is going to be our time to show the world the reasons why we definitely matter, and Mexico is not number one in CONCACAF. We may not be able to prove everybody that we are, you know, number one again, but we can level it off.
I'll fuck with that.
And meddling at the Olympics would go a long way in saying, well, you know, Mexico has some great youth national team guys, but
we do too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's scary about the Olympics, though. Under 23, young players like that are even more inconsistent than other players. So we could just as well get knocked out of the group.
Yeah.
Finish last in the group as we could place.
But
or, God forbid, not even qualify.
God forbid.
Well, we're not even entertaining that.
No, we're not even entertaining that.
I don't even think I could watch the entire, any of the Olympics if that happened.
Okay, final thoughts on this longest podcast ever?
This is the longest podcast ever. That's my final thoughts.
I think that we have a lot to talk about, and we'll probably continue the what we expect next year.
Well, let's do a quick two quick predictions here. Who will score the goal of the year, excluding Tim Howard?
Oh, this is tough. I think that Breck Shea's got another one in him.
Yeah. I'll say Gat.
Yeah, Gat was another one.
He'll have a Maisie Rummer too.
I'm gonna go a little bit off the beaten path and pick Kleschen.
Hipster.
I think Kleschen's gonna find something in him. The Belgian defenses are going to find a mistake, and Klessen's going to pull one from like 98 yards out.
Okay. You said a couple of the
other ones. And Yank of the Year prediction besides Clint Dempsey.
Ooh. So who's going to burst on, like, who will be if the, it's not one of the usual suspects, who's going to burst on the
scene? We assume Dempsey will be the Yank of the Year.
Yeah.
Who takes
safe over? Assumption. Oh, that's tough.
Or is it Clint Dempsey?
I'd like to wait until the January transfer window is done, please. Because who knows? I mean, some teams, especially in those last few days, get desperate, and there are a few promising Americans, Breck Shea, you know, who have the talent to really do a lot of damage. Dark horses for a thing like that, honestly, Joe Zhao. If he gets that contract sorted out, and having seen him play before, it's scary what the kid can do. But I'd have to say, if not Deuce, I'd say Breck Shea is the obvious choice. You got some guys like Gat might do some crazy things. If he actually gets to play right mid or right wing.
He's got Champsy ball coming up too. Don't forget, he's playing the Champions League.
Also true. You got that.
Big things coming for that boy.
Mix. I think
Mix will not
on the
be.
Verge of Lillstrom.
Well, because they need money. They're broke.
Which is good for us.
What about you, Rob?
Trying to think.
Don't try too hard.
Yeah.
I think Junior
find his stride.
I agree. It's definitely Brownlee for me.
This is his year?
He's one of the few American players who figures it out no matter where he goes, it seems like.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to happen again this year in Italy.
We talk about how now Fulham is Dempsey's team. I think if he stays at Chievo extra season, Chievo will be his team.
He's a leader. Natural born leader.
That's a good pick.
And if you've looked at his match ratings from their big time paper, it's a 6.5 or above every game.
He's consistent.
He's always at 6.5, pushing a 7. He might dip down to a 5.5 if he breaks a leg.
MB90.
Yeah, but. And then, again, now that Jurgen realizes, oh, shit, this guy's actually really good. He's going to be the heart of this team going into the qualifiers. I think Bradley is the player of the year.
That's the one thing that you
behind
have to,
Dempsey, I should say.
That you have to consider is that heading into this qualifying round, you know, we're having these issues with the national team that we've never had before, actual selection problems. I know that, you know, you and I, that we talk off and on, like, over the past 18 months about how oh crap, we have multiple players at that position who are playing well. Like, what the hell is this?
Meanwhile, left back.
Oh god,
we don't have a guy with two legs.
The thing is that there are players who are coming through and playing.
The other thing to look at is dual internationals here. Danny Potts plays left back. He's probably staying with America, but he might go to England. Probably not. What if we steal the Williams kid
from Villa? From the Irish. Oh.
What if we steal Adam Henley from Wales? 17-year-old kid who shut down Nani.
Yeah.
If we can pull one of those guys out of a hat,
we might have a solution for a long, long time. Yes. And then you still got guys like Sean Cunningham at Molde. And yes, they have Champions League on the horizon, which means he'll get some minutes somewhere.
Yeah. I don't think we'll get Williams from Ireland.
No, it's stretch.
But
Henley's possible.
Seeing the post from his mom on Big Soccer, he's 50.
His mom posted?
Yeah, a couple times. She's awesome.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So props to Mrs. Henley.
So Henley's 50-50?
She said, I wanted to keep with Wales, but it's up to him. So the way it's being written, there's a lot of talk that
I want him to stay with Wales, which means that he may not be leading that
and
way.
And a lot of respect to Henley, because he said his decision is not about World Cups. It's down to where I feel more attached.
Good for him.
And his mom's Welsh. His dad is English, I think, but he's born in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
He said England is not happening, which, cool.
Yeah.
But he grew up, he's got a lot of family in the U.S. he's close to, and it's a toss-up for him, so.
Okay. So him and Bale on the left side.
We need to conclude this
podcast.
Set this podcast.
Well, this is great conversation for the next one. All right? So thank you so much for listening. I'm hoping that my computer still has some, like, memory space left after this one.
It's toast.
It's done. Well, thanks for listening to Guild by Association Football. We'll see you next week with hopefully a shorter podcast.
Peace.
I hope so.
Guaranteed.